Good morning. I'm Rachel Dornhelm, and this is the California Report. Hospitals in California are adapting to evolving guidelines from the Centers for Disease Control on how to best prepare for a possible Ebola patient. There are no known cases of the virus in California, but the infection of two nurses in Texas has hospitals here revamping their protocols. The California Report's health reporter April Domboski has more.
Responsibility ultimately falls on each individual hospital to incorporate CDC guidelines into its own Ebola response plan. California's chief of communicable disease control, James Watt, says help from the state can only go so far.
The reality is that every hospital situation is unique. The physical layout of the hospital is unique and needs to be taken into account. Also, the equipment that that hospital has. And so that's why it's really important for the training and the planning to be done at the facility level.
For example, Kaiser Permanente has decided to focus its most intensive training efforts at its Oakland and South Sacramento hospitals. It wants to make sure health workers at all locations are trained to screen for Ebola. But infectious disease physician Stephen Perotti says any patient that becomes ill from the virus will be transferred to one of these two designated sites.
We feel that it would be best to consolidate the care of these individuals so that we can ensure that we've got highly skilled, competent, well-trained teams that can provide the care that's required.
Some concerns hospitals have are shared throughout the state, like what to do with the medical waste that would be produced when caring for an Ebola patient. The CDC recommends burning it.
But in California, we don't have that option.
Jan Emerson Shea of the California Hospital Association says the state effectively prohibits burning medical waste.
Keep in mind, too, that one of the big challenges is the volume that might be generated from a patient with Ebola, because everything that that patient comes in contact with, from bed linens, mattresses, paper cups, dishes, all of that has to be disposed of.
She says hospitals are talking with state public health officials now to figure out what they would do with all that waste. For the California Report, I'm April Domboski.
12 days until Election Day, and more signs that a lot of California voters are thinking about sitting this one out. A new poll from the nonpartisan Public Policy Institute of California finds only 40% of voters say they are enthusiastic about this election. The enthusiasm number was 13 points higher during the last midterm election in 2010 and 21 points higher just 2 years ago. Pollster Mark Baldessari says low excitement could mean low turnout and unexpected results.
You know, that creates a lot of uncertainty, less so at the statewide level than at the local level in terms of who might come out and how the voter turnout might tip races in one direction or another.
There are some close statewide races. The poll found support for the state rainy day fund, Proposition 2, is just below 50%. That's up 6 points since September, but almost a fifth of voters are still undecided. The poll found stronger support for the state water bond, Proposition 1, as likely voters named the drought one of their top concerns. 56% of respondents said they would vote for the $7.5 billion measure, with 32% opposed. Governor Jerry Brown has been pushing for both of these measures. The poll found Brown still holds a wide lead in the race over challenger Neil Kashkari. Among those Californians who cast a ballot this election, an increasing number will likely vote by mail. Every election, more and more Californians choose that route. Nearly 7 in 10 voters used mail-in ballots during this year's primary. And as counties process those ballots, campaigns want to get the details as quickly as possible. The California Report Sacramento Bureau Chief Scott Detrow explains, as part of Election Watch 2014, campaigns are able to mine those ballots for strategic information.
Paul Mitchell is a consultant with Political Data Incorporated, a company that processes voting data and sells it to campaigns. Now, these strategists have no idea what choices voters are making on their mail-in ballots. As Mitchell puts it,
it's kind of like if they announced that at the next World Series game, they were never going to tell you the score until the end. But all you could know between the first and ninth inning was how many strikes and balls there were.
But all those balls and strikes would tell you a story if you look closely enough. And the same is true for the ballot return rates.
You know, oh, the Democrats in this district are actually doing better than they were 4 years ago, or the Republicans are doing worse, or the Latinos are higher turnout or lower turnout.
Take the 44th Assembly District in Ventura County. The race between Democrat Jackie Irwin and Republican Rob McCoy is tight and expensive. It's one of the few races where Democrats are on the offense. They're trying to wrest away the seat being vacated by a Republican. Republicans only account for 34% of the district's registration. But so far, GOP voters make up 40% of returned ballots, a figure nearly even with Democrats. At first glance, those numbers don't look good for Democrats. Mitchell says a broader look tells a different story.
Democrats are doing a little bit better than they did in 2012 in these early numbers. They're doing better than they did in 2010 in these early numbers.
That's because in both those elections, Republicans returned their vote-by-mail ballots at a rate 6 to 10 points ahead of Democrats. Democratic consultant Mike Shimpach is working on the Irwin campaign. He says they're pleased with the data coming in. But right now, he says, the campaign is looking at the return ballots on a more granular level.
At this point, you're looking less at percentage turnout than you're looking at voters that are likely to vote for you, have been identified as supporters of you that have not returned their ballot.
As more and more people vote by mail, Shimpach says what used to be one day of get-out-the-vote operations is now a month of activity. So the campaign is tracking those people down and making sure they mail their ballots in. It's important to note this voting information changes on a day-by-day basis, and it's still relatively early. A lot can happen between now and November 4th. For example, Mitchell says right now, more ballots have come in than at the same point in the last gubernatorial election.
Potentially right now, it's a little bit higher than in 2010, but that's really talking about a percentage here, a percentage there. And it could be as simple as voters finding this ballot to be easier to decide on, and so voting earlier because of that.
Experts expect about half of all vote-by-mail ballots to be returned by this weekend. At that point, campaigns will be able to draw better conclusions about what they're looking at, kind of like how a three-game World Series lead is more certain than a one-game lead. For the California Report, I'm Scott Detrow in Sacramento.
And that's the California Report for Thursday, October 23rd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Dornhelm. This is the California Report.
Support for the California Report comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. URS, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, working to improve California's public infrastructure, preserve the state's natural resources, and strengthen the environment. URS.com. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995.